Hello, everyone, and welcome to this week's episode of Coffee Talk. If you just joined, Coffee Talks are the short in-between episodes where we read your listener-submitted stories, hang out with our friends, talk about witchy pop culture, or chat with you about what's going on in our personal practices.
You've really been nailing witchy lately.
Thank you.
I'm really proud of yourself.
Before we start every episode, I go, how now, brown cow? How now, brown cow?
Maybe I should start doing the same. Anyways, if you want to be featured on Coffee Talk, email us at submissions@coffeeandcauldrons.com, or you can send us your submission on our website, coffeeandcauldrons.com. And we even have a voicemail that you can literally call us if you don't want to type out your entire story and rather like leave us a little voice note. Just give this number a call. It does have a 3-minute like little wiggle room. But if you don't, you know, finish your story, just call back and we will piece it all together. But that number is 351-207-0799. And you can send us your tips, your ghost stories, or any kind of funny story you think the community would love to hear. Be sure to let us know if we can share your name or you prefer us not to. Your social media usernames are also a great way to get credit.
Yes. And as a reminder for everybody who is in the Patreon or is considering the Patreon, we do have a class this month, as we do every month. This is offered for the library tier and up. And this month's class is going to be on October 26th at 12 p.m. Pacific Standard Time. And this class is going to be hosted by Aiden Watcher. I don't know if you guys are familiar with him at all. He's one of my favorite authors. He wrote Six Ways and Changeling.
Such a great author. Mm-hmm.
Six Ways, if you've never read it, you should. It is a self-published book, and it literally changed a lot of things for me in terms of perspective on my practice. So really, really excited about this class. Really excited about this lecture. 10 out of 10. Join us on the library. We would love to have you. And if you do join us for this class, as a reminder, if you're interested in it but can't actually make the October 26th timeline, it is available immediately on Patreon to watch whenever you want, as well as every single class that came before it. So we would love to have you.
Yeah, I really feel like Aiden also like set the tone for like indie like witchy book authors. Like,
I agree.
Yeah, like you can have such a badass like how-to book and it be not traditionally published. Like, it's such a good book. All of his books are good books, but I really do like Six Ways.
Six Ways literally is one of my favorite books, and I do recommend it to a lot of people. So I am very, very excited for this class. I will be honest, I did think of Aiden specifically for me, because this is about me at the end of the day.
The class is for Robin, everybody. Robin is the one that's going to be at the front of the class taking notes. That's all you need to know.
I feel like we're like really gassing Aiden up, but I really cannot emphasize enough to you guys. This Aiden doing a lecture for us is, for me personally, the equivalent of when Teresa did a lecture for us on how like influential both of these people have been for my practice, that I'm very excited about it. So
yeah. Very exciting.
Not to get too blown smoke up his ass, but I'm very excited.
Me too.
Yeah, so Maria, we're going to read ghost stories. We've already talked about the fact that this month is going to be ghost story heavy. So Maria, do you have any ghosty things that have happened recently?
Oh, yeah. Like, a lot. Like, a lot of it's been small stuff. But there was one night, I was washing my face, and behind me, I saw someone walk behind me. Like, there was no question about it, that someone 100% walked behind me. And I thought it was my wife, Scarlett, like, just, like, heading to the bathroom or something. And so I started talking, like, Scarlett was there. I was like, oh, are you done with your game? You know, are you enjoying it? And she just was not replying. So I was like very confused, and I was washing my face, but like, you know how when you're washing your face, you're like looking in the mirror, making sure that you grabbed everything. Like, my eyes were open when I saw someone walk behind me. Like, I wasn't doing the squinty thing or anything like that. And so I was like, that's so weird. And so I turned and I looked, because our toilet room. Like, there's literally a room with just a toilet in it. And I looked in there. There's literally no one in there. I was like, what the fuck? And so I went to the room that my wife was playing her video game in. I'm like, did you just come in the bathroom?
And hey, she's
like,
you rude bitch. You just walked in the bathroom and you didn't even say hello to me.
Yeah, basically, yeah. And she's like, no. And I was like, oh, okay. Just seeing full body apparitions, just, you know, not at night. It's fine. It's cool.
That's fine. It's fine. It's normal.
It happens,
it's chill.
Like, it happens occasionally in the house, but it's always like, I don't know, you know, a lot of time when I see spirits, like, it's, they're a mist or they're, like, they don't have a lot of color to them. This was a person, like, was, like, I could see their skin tone and everything and definition and all that. And so I was, like, so confused. And then the other day, I was sitting downstairs and I forgot what I was doing. I think I was just reading. And I heard someone walking upstairs, like literally walking across, like we have like a long hallway up there. I heard them walk from one end of the hallway all the way to the other one. I was like, well, that's no one because no one else is here besides me. Yay. So great. So wonderful. But true to, you know, spooky season, I've been seeing like the mist and stuff like that in my kitchen, which is always my grandma yelling at me that the dishes aren't done, which, okay, grandma, I see them. I'm not feeling well.
Thanks, like, grandma. I know.
No, she's been a lot more chill
this
year.
I literally know,
dishes,
grandma.
So.
I have eyes.
I am aware they need to get done. I literally just on my altar put some iced tea for her and my grandfather. Scarlett had just made some fresh brewed iced tea, so I was like, that was my grandparents' favorite. Like, they would just at night they would go down into their like video room. They had like what are those ruckus rooms? They had one downstairs in their house that they would go and watch TV show.
I'm from California. We do not have ruckus rooms.
Well, this
we have
is
dens.
Utah with wood paneling and everything, like chef's kiss, retro nostalgia, like gorgeous. But yeah, but they would sit down there and have some iced tea and stuff like that. So I don't know. Whenever I leave them special offerings like that, they usually do something. So I'm very excited about, you know, what they do this time. So how about you? What have you seen? What have you witnessed?
I haven't witnessed anything, but I had a weird work call. So, you know, sometimes we've talked about this before, like getting in contact or hearing or seeing spirits. Even if you describe yourself as a medium, in my experience, it's not like a light switch. You can't just turn it on and decide it's just they're going to show up or they're not.
Yep, absolutely.
And I had a work client reach out. We had this really great conversation, and then she wanted to know if I could contact her deceased brother and sister. And I was really transparent with her. I was like, I can try, but that does not mean that they're going to want to talk to me, right? Mm-hmm. So I tried, and I heard clear as day, like in my head, I heard clear as day answers to her questions. And like, it was just the brother. The sister didn't talk to me at all. It was just the brother. And it was like clear as day responses and answers to things that I would not have known. Like really, really specific things. And I was like, I haven't had an experience like that at my day job in years, literal years, like not since before my eldest was born. Mm-hmm. And so it was like I wasn't expecting anything, and I told her that I was like, I can try, we'll see what happens, etc. And I was like not prepared for it to actually like the brother to come through. And it was like jump scare. I was like, whoo. I don't know that I like that. But yeah, he had things to say.
Yeah,
so yeah, that's been my latest recently.
That's so much fun. Always like talking
to... Yeah, it was just one of those things where I wasn't expecting it. And it was like, oh, hello.
Yeah, typically when I speak to, like, my clients' guides and stuff like that, it's very rare for them to, like, do full-blown out answers. It's typically just, right. like, no, imagery not- or just, like, what single word. It's so rare to, like, receive full, you know, answers to stuff.
Right. No, exactly. And that's why it was so, like, I wasn't prepared. And I ended up having to, like, turn my job off and, like, ground myself and just, like, recenter because I was, like, not prepared for that at all. Like, I don't get a lot of mediumship type questions to begin with because I very clearly advertise myself as what I am, a tarot reader. Mm-hmm. And we had had this really great reading. It was like 30 or 40 minutes. And then she was like, hey, by the way, can you do this? And I was like, you know, I'll be honest with you. I can try. We'll see. Probably not. Boom. Yeah. Brother was in my ears. It was crazy.
Mm-hmm. And you did, you were so smart going out and grounding. That's really draining when that stuff happens. So
yeah, no, and also it just spooked me because I wasn't prepared for it. Yeah. You know what I mean? Like, I wasn't expecting that to happen. So, like, the conversation aside, it, like, gave me the jitters. Because it was, like, it's, you know, normally when you do stuff like that, when you do kind of spirit communication, it is such a, like, thought out, intentful process where you're like,
oh yeah, oh yeah,
you know what you I mean? And so
yeah, there's like this whole ritual beforehand to do in order to ground this
space. So I was like, you know, I feel like you and I are connecting super well. I can try. No promises, girly pop. Mm-hmm. And her brother was in my ear like, hello, bitch, let's talk. And it was crazy. I wasn't expecting it. And I was just like, I need to go lay down.
Yeah. Yep. Yep. But I'm sure she appreciated getting answers and stuff like that.
Yeah. And like, it really was just like the reaching out was really just the usual thing that people want to do when they want to talk to their past relatives. Let them know that they love them, that they're asking if they're okay, that sort of thing. And so it wasn't like this was like super invasive or anything, but like he said a nickname that was specific to her that was like, I wouldn't have known that. And so it was like, oh, I mean, I wasn't ready for this. I know I said yes, but I didn't think we were actually going to connect because that's so rare at my job that I just wasn't prepared.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, more than fair. More than fair.
We do have stories to read today, correct?
Yeah, we do. Yes,
we've got
a ton of stories.
Three, but one of them is two stories in one. So, Maria, would you like to start us off, m'lady?
I sure can. Okay, so this one asks us to not use their name, and it says, back in 2016, I went on a family trip with my family to Italy, and one of the overnight stops was at Lake Como. The hotel room we were up in had the main floor and upstairs loft, with just enough room for a bed, a wardrobe, and a bench, and I got the loft while my parents had the bed on the main floor. The thing to remember is that the bed in the loft was up against the wall facing the stairs. Late one night, I woke up without any prompting, looked at the stairs, and saw this dark, shadowy figure coming up slowly on the stairs. I got the impression that it was a man. Of course, I thought that some stranger had broken into our room and managed to get into the loft with no problem. I immediately began yelling at the man, saying things like, what are you doing up here? And get the fuck out. Of course, the man didn't leave, and he kept getting closer. Then all of a sudden, my dad was there and the shadow man was gone. My parents were like, there's no one here. You were asleep and yelling in your sleep. But I know I was awake. I can tell the difference between being awake and dreaming. And this definitely felt like I was awake. Later on, years after the trip, I found out that no one else in the other rooms heard my yelling, and that my dad had seen a shadow figure out the corner of his eye in our room. So I spent a few years thinking I was nuts this entire time. My dad might have seen the shadow figure too. How rude. Cooperate your kids' stories.
Literally.
I know it's just like not to scare, you know, scare them and stuff like that, which yeah. makes sense. But like eventually you've got, you know, tell your kid that they're not, you know, cuckoo bananas. But
yeah, at some point it's just validation for them.
Mm-hmm.
There is something very unsettling for me personally, and maybe this is my own like trauma or something, but when you know it's a, like a man's presence, when you feel like it's a man's presence that just wandered into your home.
Mm-hmm. Ugh. Yeah. I think that's just traumaing from, you know, men. The patriarchy. Men. That's the word I was looking for.
Patriarchy, right. I feel like you and I just said the same thing, so.
Yeah. I had to think of the word I was trying to think of, or it would have bothered me the entire time. But no, like, I don't know, that had been so scary. And then I still like the dad. You're just sleeping. Like, you're fine. He's telling himself that at the same time.
Go to sleep! Don't make me get the belt out!
90s parenting.
I'll give you something to dream about.
Oh, gosh. So, what's our next one?
So our next story comes from someone named Kay.
Okay.
And they have two stories. The first one is, or they say, I have two interesting things that may be worthy of sharing with your listeners. One may possibly be related to the other or not. The first interesting thing, there's a shadow that has no source. On the adjacent property, a very large, deep shadow appears most days, but not always. It's glaringly obvious when the leaves are off in the fall and winter. The adjacent property is 70 undeveloped, mostly treed acres. The shadow just touches our fence/property line. We see a lot of things moving through the trees, balls of lights, tiny specks of flying light, small clouds of mist that glows, An unexplained glimpse of some things, lots of perfectly normal animals, birds, deer, squirrels, etc., except for when the shadow is visible. At those times, there is a stillness and silence. Any movement outside is of the unusual sort. And no, it's not fireflies. We see the odd flying speck of light and everything else all year long. Definitely no fireflies in January in Michigan.
Oh, the shadow was about to say Michigan. I was like, Appalachia?
The shadow is big, 15 or so feet wide and 40 feet long. Sharp, clean edges, very dark shadow, as if it were cast by a big, solid, rectangular object. Except there is nothing there to make such a shadow. Where the shadow seems to come from is a flat, cleared area of goldenrod and wild grasses, and off to the side, a single small, deciduous tree. It has been suggested to me that this mysterious, sourceless shadow is actually cast by a door or gate into another plane. The shadow comes and goes. Bright, cloudless day, the shadow can be seen there, huge and black, and then the next time you look, it's gone. Still full sun, no clouds. Only a few minutes passed, and there is a deep, extremely dark shadow there is nothing but sunlight. Or it happens the other way. I was doing dishes, absently watching some blue jays in the yard. Clear, nice day outside. There was a sudden surge of dark, like someone fanning a sheet just off to the side of your field of vision. The blue jays flapped off screeching. I look over to the property line, and there it is, a black presence sprawling across the ground. Now, the second story, I'm going to give you all a warning. This does have stories of SA and suicide. So if you don't want to listen to that, this is your chance to flash forward. The second interesting thing, men commit suicide on this property. Bit of background for property history. In 1954, a former dairy farm was cut up and sold off. Three lots were bought by Ace Hard, Ace H, Ace Built, I'm assuming Ace Hardware. right? Mm-hmm. Ace built a house over time and sold the other lots. I'll call Ace's home Lot A. I am Lot B, and my other neighbor is Lot C. Ace sold Lot C in 1968 to an Anglican minister who wanted to build a church start a new congregation. It didn't work out. His wife left, took their 5 kids, and went back home to England. A year of living in a small motorhome with no water or power was all that she could take. The minister apparently didn't want to despoil the land where he had started to build the church, so he used a shotgun and killed himself next door on Lot B. In 1978, Ace sells Lot B. Well, Ace didn't sell Lot B because Ace killed himself. But anyway, Ace sells Lot B to a couple of retired university professors. They wanted to build a standard 2-story home with an in-ground basement. Ace tried to explain that they really can't build in that spot. They need to build further back in the lot because, you see, there's a small spring right there. How was the permanently wet ground and small trickle of water not a clue? No one listened. The basement was dug on a Friday. When the contractor came back the next week, he found a pool. Property owner was all kinds of pissed. Building plans were changed. Literal tons of dirt was moved. They slapped on the cheapest house that they could buy blueprints for, a split level. Once the house was finished, they immediately listed it for sale. The husband lived just long enough to sign papers. He dropped dead while moving out the day after the sale. So the next owners, husband hung himself in the basement. Family after that. Husband hung himself in the garage. The family after that, husband hung himself in the barn. The family after that, husband hung himself in the basement. The family after that, husband shot himself in the backyard. The family after that is us.
Wait, so, they moved into that same house?
Apparently. So far, we have been here longer than any previous owner, 16 years this July. We are all still alive. I have some theories of why our ownership of this house is different, but thought including that would make this too long. Stuff happens in here. Things move. Every once in a while, we feel a pat on the shoulders or touch on the arm, smell cigarettes or Copenhagen, sometimes automotive paint. Car paint. Things that relate to the past owners. Our 2-year-old son regularly says, while pointing to thin air, I see him. When we moved in, Ace still lived in Lot A. He and Marie, his wife, told me all about the history of the house. Ace died a few years ago, peacefully, at 98, preceded in death by his beloved wife of 57 years. After introducing himself, the first thing Ace said to me was, so how's the basement doing? Wet, Ace. The basement is wet. P.S. Kind of a PSA, I suppose. If you think the new owners of the recently sold property, if you think the new owners of the recently sold property that is being used as a rental are engaged in human trafficking, they are engaged in human trafficking.
What?
So that's our story. Can you see why I gave a trigger warning to start that one?
Yeah. No kidding.
Yeesh. That's crazy.
That's a lot.
And also, my theory, knowing nothing else about the property, is that Kay listed the basement, the garage, the barn, the basement, and the backyard, all places that these husbands had ended their lives. Well, they've killed themselves in every single place in the house. So the prophecy is fulfilled. There's enough souls. No kidding. They don't need to eat anymore.
That's terrifying.
Terrifying.
That's amazing for Kay that she has, like, they have some place to, like, house their family and stuff. But
I'm assuming they have a husband. So that is my assumption. Maybe they don't, but my assumption is that they have a husband based off of their little anecdote there about why they are different. But also maybe that's why they are different, is they don't have a husband. But I'm really glad to see that everyone's still alive, Kay. gotta be real with you, babe. So if I were looking at properties and they were like, 90 people have died here subsequently, one after another, I'd be like, you know what? I think this isn't the house for us.
It gives Amityville Horror a little bit.
It's giving there's a demon in the basement, run.
Now, I'm not one to believe in as much as people are like, oh, this is a portal. Oh, this is a portal. It's like, not everything.
Sometimes,
a portal,
though.
But this.
If there was a portal.
Would not be surprised.
If there ever was a portal.
Yeah.
My goodness. All right, we have one more story, Maria. You want to send us off?
I sure can. Okay, let me try to find it. I can find it. There we go. Okay, so this is from Morgan Rhea. Hopefully I said that correctly. And their handle is Morgan Rhea. And it says, when I was a little girl, I experienced a lot of spooky shit, but this one story is probably the scariest one I've experienced. When I was in about fourth grade, I went to a church camp. There was one girl there that I had went to school with, and she was pretty much the only one I knew that was in my cabin, so I asked to bunk with her. What I didn't know was this girl was not a peaceful sleeper. This is important info later.
No.
For some reason, she brought up that when she stayed the night at her grandma's house, she always seen a silhouette of a girl with her arm ripped off at night. What the fuck, right? This didn't faze me, little me, because this wasn't exactly a new thing to me. I didn't think much of it. And that night, we all went to sleep. But left the bathroom light on since some girls, me, were scared of the dark. So the girl I shared the bunk with must have been running a marathon in her sleep because this girl was kicking and tossing all night. I was on the top bunk, so it shook me awake every 5 minutes or so. Our bunk was right up against the wall, right beside the bathroom. So when I sat up, I couldn't see inside the bathroom, but that the light was coming through the floor. When I sat up, because it felt like World War III was going on down there, I seen what appeared to be a shadow of a little girl with her arm ripped off. She didn't move, and neither did I. Her head was tilted to the right, so you could see her medium-length hair draped over one side of... over that one side, and her left arm was the one that was gone. I never brought it up to my poor friend that was probably given nightmares by this thing, because I thought it might scare her to know that the spirit might be following her. I mean, we're in the fourth grade. What is she supposed to do about that? I still believe
babysitter's club that goes hunting.
Yeah. Exactly. I mean, I still believed in Jesus back then, so I kind of hoped he would protect us, laughing my ass off. No one else seemed to see it because no one, not even the little girl I went to school with, ever brought it up. I went on to graduate high school with her and still never told her I seen it. I still wonder about her to this day. Another side of the story, feel free to read. There was another person that submitted a story about a Native American chief watching her and her brother as a thunderstorm was going on. No joke. When I was a kid, anytime I was scared at night, I always seen, but couldn't really see. I think you guys know what I mean by that. A Native American chief watching over me. I felt calmed by his presence. I don't know, but I love this podcast. Blessed be.
First of all, thank you.
Oh no. And this poor now woman is like, probably thinks that she has like, you, what, night terrors, you know? And it's just a spirit attachment.
Poor, I really like that. We're in the fourth grade. What am I supposed to do? So funny.
Do what we all do. Just like stare and be super scared and not sleep the entire night. Like
literally. Literally. Well, thank you all so much for joining us this week on Coffee Talk. We hope to see you next week for our regular episode where we're going to be talking about ghost communication, which is going to be so fun. You can check out our website for links to our submission form or shoot us an email at submissions@coffeeandcauldrons.com, or you can leave us a voicemail at 351-207-0799 to tell us your tips, topics, ghost stories, just anything you think the community would love to hear.
And as always, if you enjoy Coffee and Cauldrons, please take a moment to review us on Apple Podcasts. Or if you want to support us directly, consider joining us on Patreon, where we share a ton of articles. We have a special Part 2 exclusive episode, have a Spell of the Month box, and a Discord full of fun events and discussions and people to meet. But yeah, come join us. And we will see you guys next time.
Next time.
Yep.
Bye.
Bye.